Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein. My guest today is classical guitarist Miloš Karadaglić. As the son of economists, he first studied guitar at the age of 8 in his hometown in Montenegro. He was entertaining audiences in concert halls by the time he was 14. And at 17, he traveled to the Royal Academy of Music in London. He was awarded the Julian Bream Prize, named for the legendary English guitarist, and in 2011, he won the Gramophone Award for Young Artist of the Year. Today, he has established himself as a world-renowned classical guitarist. Miloš Karadaglić, welcome to Song Travels.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your invitation.
Well, it's wonderful to speak to you because I have a soft place in my heart for guitar. Growing up listening to different recordings of classical guitarists, and here you are sort of reinventing the guitar in the sense that it's bringing a very long and old tradition to a new audience. Do you feel a sense of discovery when you go out in the world today with what you do?
Sense of discovery, yes. To pull out the guitar in front of people who've never heard it before, it played in a classical style, is always puts things in perspective and always makes me feel special to do what I do.
Well, how did you come to the guitar?
Well, I came to the guitar by complete accident because in my family there was a guitar that nobody was playing.
And whose was it?
It was my father's, and it was a present to him from his older brother. Since he got married to my mother, I don't think that, and I came to the world and so on, I don't think he had the time, so nobody was using the guitar. And because I didn't fancy the violin and because they couldn't afford the piano, I said, how about I play the guitar?
Well, would you kindly play something for us to begin the musical portion of our program?
Sure. I will play a piece which was the first piece of classical guitar that I ever heard. When I went to the music school, I didn't know what I will play. I was always singing around the house, and my family liked music, but there was no traditional classical music at all. And when I said to my father, please take me to the music school, I had no idea. And they wanted me to play the violin, and I thought that violin was something which wasn't cool enough. I don't know why. And then in the music school, they started me to learn music, to read music, to get into this rigorous classical training. And I was so annoyed by that.
Mm.
I felt that was so boring. And I almost gave up. But having had almost perfect pitch and stuff like that, it was a shame for me to give up. So my father wanted to inspire me. And one day he invited me to listen to this old LP. And there was Segovia playing Asturias. And when I heard that, my whole world changed.
That because, was what we call an aha moment.
Yeah. Yes. That was the moment when I realized that classical guitar is something so beautiful and something that is so special. So from that moment on, I started practicing really hard and I wanted to be able to one day play Asturias. And that's why when I released my first CD for Deutsche Grammophon, I knew immediately that that was going to be the first track on that CD.
Well, let's listen to Asturias by Albéniz. Thank you. It's Albéniz Asturias. It's a beautiful piece. It's a what a showcase. How long was it before you were able to play that piece to your satisfaction?
Well, it took some time, obviously, because it's not an easy piece of music. It was kind of something which was hanging in the air, and it was giving me this willingness to practice and to get better at my playing and so on. And then when the time came, I picked the piece to play it, and I did. Because naturally I had very fast fingers. It didn't take me very long to learn things. When I heard that piece, it's also hearing it in Montenegro, where this tradition was non-existent.
Yeah, yeah.
So the power of this sound was really extraordinary to me.
But this is the thing that interests me, how this music found its way to you and to the region. How many other people would even have listened to Albéniz, or how, you know, it's fascinating.
In the 70s, Segovia and Bream and Williams, they were household names, despite the fact they played classical guitar. And my father was a young man in the 70s, so it wasn't an accident that this record found its way to me, passed on from him. But my father listened to Bee Gees and to Rolling Stones and to play people like that. Because when you're thinking of Montenegro in the 70s, in the 80s, we were one of the most open countries in the world.
And what's the population? About 600,000
people.
Yeah, small.
At that time, we were part of Yugoslavia. And that was a very free and open country, despite the communism. So the influence of the West was always present. There was always music coming in from different parts of the world into Montenegro. But the interest for classical music wasn't very big, because there wasn't tradition of classical music, of composers, of anything like that in Montenegro. And Montenegro was always this island in the middle of the Balkans. So thinking of classical guitar there, it was kind of an alien concept.
The tradition of classical guitar, I always connect with the Latin composers. And I foolishly assumed that you were Latin, even though your name is Milos.
Everyone thinks I speak really good Spanish.
Because of the repertoire as well.
Yeah.
The composer Villalobos is very well-known name, of course. And I know many different works of his, but would you say that he's one of the most important composers in connection with the guitar literature?
I think he's one of the most important composers for guitar, because in the 20th century, he, with his music, helped so much for the guitar to get reestablished as the concert instrument. He was writing pieces which were challenging the guitar possibilities and capabilities in musical and technical sense. And he worked very closely with Segovia on those pieces. And I don't know, for some reason, I always really connected with his musical style. And perhaps it's because the way he wrote for the guitar was almost bigger than the guitar. When I play Villalobos' music, it always allows me to explore that on the guitar.
Well, I'd love it if you would play his first prelude.
Yes, that was my first encounter with Villalobos.
That
piece, yes. And as I was growing up, the way I play that piece has been evolving as well. I just love it. Because here he treats the guitar like a cello. He was a cellist himself. He could play guitar, but he was a cellist. And he writes for the melody to be in the bass in this piece. It's very long. It's very sustained, very legato. It's almost like you have a bow to play this melody. It's accompanied with the open strings on the top. And it just goes on and it builds in the bass. And I always have fun when I play that.
Well, here it is, Villalobos, Prelude number 1. Thank you for that, Milos. It's a beautiful piece. Villa-Lobos, I find very fascinating as a composer because he was so broad in the types of music that he wrote. So this piece that you played is from sometime in the 1940s. And in that same period, Villa-Lobos actually wrote the music for a Broadway musical.
Wow.
In America. There were two lyricists, Wright and Forrest, who wanted to create a Broadway show adapting the music of Villa-Lobos. And he heard about it, and he said, well, why don't I just write original music with you? And he came to America, and he wrote a Broadway musical in 1949, which was called Magdalena. And in the late 80s, it was recorded, and I'd love to play a track from that.
Oh, please. I'm excited to hear it.
That was a piece called The Omen Bird from this 1949 Broadway musical, and it's the same period in which he wrote the prelude.
I know, it's quite extraordinary. And when the piece starts, it reminds me a little bit of the guitar concerto.
Yes.
Because it starts with this full orchestra into this...
sort of ostinato.
It's so wonderful. And I think Villa-Lobos really was a master of creating color. And in his guitar pieces, in all of them, the color is the word, because you can explore from the most aggressive to the most beautiful colors and sounds and so on. But to hear that woman sing is just amazing. Whenever I hear the voice, it always excites me so much.
You love opera?
I love opera. I adore opera. And if I wasn't a guitarist, I would be an opera singer, probably.
Did you ever have a period where you played and sang in your formative years?
No. I didn't publicly know. When I'm preparing a piece of music, I always sing the phrase, because that gives me the idea of the breathing and how to approach it musically. At the moment, I sing with my guitar, and maybe in the future, I will make this big wish come true and maybe train my voice. Who knows? There are so many years ahead, and it's a very strong impulse, so I don't think it will be ignored for very long.
But one thing at a time.
One thing at a time, right. Exactly.
Well, you have expanded my knowledge of the guitar repertoire, because on your recent recording, you recorded a piece by Jorge Cardoso, who is an Argentine composer, Argentinian. I know nothing about him. Would you talk about this piece, Milonga?
Milonga as a musical form is a predecessor to tango.
And how is it different? Rhythmically, is it...
Milonga is much more song-like and much less dance-like, even though it's a dance form. But it's not as sharp in the rhythm as tango. So when I heard Milonga when I was researching the repertoire for Passion, or Latino, as we call it in Europe, I came across this video of Cardoso himself, and he was playing this piece, which I heard, and I was completely mesmerized by it, because it was so simple, but it spoke in such a direct, emotional, beautiful way to a listener. And because of what it was, there was no shadow of a doubt in me that I will play this piece on this record, because I wanted to play something which was so pure and so beautiful. So whenever I play that milonga, it's a very emotional experience for me, because it always translates how I feel at any given moment that I play it. Sometimes it's faster and more rhythmical, sometimes it's very free, and it just depends. I love that piece so much.
Well, I'd be grateful if you play it for us now.
Sure.
It's by Jorge Cardoso, Milonga.
Thank you.
That was Milonga by Jorge Cardoso. And there's more coming up in a moment with classical guitarist Milos. Our program is made possible in part by NPR and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art works. I'm Michael Feinstein, and this is Song Travels from NPR Music. Milos, have you listened to guitarists in other genres? For example, a lot of the repertoire that you play is 20th century classical repertoire, and there was this whole tradition of Django Reinhardt and American guitarists like Eddie Lang performing different kinds of music. Have you listened much to any of that or explored any of it?
I have touched upon some of these, and it's always fantastic for me to hear guitar played in a different style. I have always had a great liking for flamenco because that is something which is very close to classical guitar. But because of my training and my artistic journey, I kind of always focused more on the classical guitar tradition and the great guitarists of that period. And it's only now that I'm opening myself to this whole world of jazz and blues and all kinds of different genres. I'm not as knowledgeable on that as I am on flamenco or on classical for sure, but I'm happy to learn something from you, Michael.
Well, you're extraordinarily knowledgeable, and one of the things I love about Song Travels is that I learn so much from my guests. And when I knew that you were going to be a part of this program, I started looking at other types of music, guitar music that were written in the period in which the classical pieces were composed. And there was an American trumpet player named Bix Beiderbecke, who was one of the famous jazz guys. Yeah, Beiderbecke, yeah.
Wow.
He was from Iowa, Davenport, Iowa. And he wrote some little piano pieces. And one of them was transcribed for the guitar by a famous blues pop guitarist named Ry Cooder. And I thought maybe I could play it for you, play this recording.
Please.
Because it's from the 1920s, and it sort of mirrors how, even though this piece was written on the other side of the world, there are connections musically to this jazz guy from Iowa to Villa-Lobos halfway around the world.
I think all the music is connected. I think music is one universal thing, and it all serves the same purpose.
Well, this is a piece called Flashes by Bix Beiderbecke, played by Ry Cooder. Thank you.
It's absolutely beautiful. And you know what it is when, as a classical guitarist, you hear different kinds of guitar. And it happened to me a lot with flamenco as well and other styles. You kind of start to appreciate how organic it is.
Mm.
And there are so many things there which would be completely unacceptable technically.
Right.
To a classical guitarist. All the squeaks and sounds and...
And it's a little bit labored.
Shifts and things. But it doesn't matter because actually it was completely organic. It was completely almost like if it was improvised and it was so true and so real. Hmm. And as a guitarist of a kind that I am, I went through a stage when I was so obsessed with detail and with making my playing perfect, simply perfect. Because as a type, I'm very, very perfectionist. And I was practicing and practicing and practicing and really going in circles for months and months and months. And there was one moment when I didn't know what to do anymore. And there was just got hold of a recording by Paco Peña, who is this great flamenco guitarist, and he was playing this piece, which I heard and made me start weeping. How emotional and how incredibly moving it was.
Mm.
And I said to myself, how beautiful is this? How can one create something so pure and so beautiful? And then on a second listen, I asked myself, do you think this is perfect? And the question was no. It was full of, in inverted commas, mistakes. But it didn't matter because it spoke directly to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the moment when I really relaxed about it. And at that point, once I relaxed about it, my playing became almost perfect.
Mm.
Not always, but, you know.
That's the paradox.
It became free and it became... What it should be. And I think that is the part of the training process of any musician of any kind or any genre, which is an essential part of the development. So hearing something like this today really reminds me of that time. And that's why I say I would love to play this piece, because maybe as a classical guitarist, I can make something of it.
Well, I will certainly get you the music.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure. You recorded a piece of music that is perhaps your most crossover work, and I know that is for some a dirty word, and yet we now live in a time when the boundaries are being erased between genres of music. But this piece that you included, Quizás, 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 I know from a Doris Day recording that I grew up with, and that's all I knew about the piece. I just knew it as a pop song. So I was delighted to discover this piece on your recording.
Well, it is a pop song. And when I was thinking about the repertoire for this CD, I just wanted to show how free this world of South American, Latin American music is, from the most core classical to the music of the streets, to the music which follows the more of the samba and tradition and the rhythms of that, from tango, and then even to something like Quizás, Quizás. And because it's a pop song, I wanted to make an arrangement with strings and to maybe have other people play on it and just have a nice time with the piece, with something simple and something which will speak to a lot of people. Because that is a very, very popular song, as you said. And it's a very beautiful song, so why not try it on classical guitar?
Well, let's listen to your recording of it. Quizás, Quizás, Quizás from your CD Passion.
Yes, I hope you like it.
Thank you.
That was Quizás, 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 performed by our guest Milos. I do like it.
And it's a favorite piece of my mother as well.
Of your mother, of course. Well, if I may, I'd like to play this Doris Day recording for you.
Oh, please.
So this is Doris Day singing the English translation of Quizás, Quizás, Quizás. Perhaps, perhaps, perhaps.
Yes.
You won't admit you love me, and so how am I ever to know? You always tell me, perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. A million times I've asked you, and then I ask you over again. You only answer, perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. If you can't make your mind up, we'll never get started. And I don't want to wind up being parted, brokenhearted. So if you really love me, say yes. But if you don't, dear, confess. And please don't tell me, perhaps, perhaps, perhaps.
That's fun, isn't it?
Yes, Doris Day, one of my favorite singers. One of the classic forms of Latin music is the tango. And the thing that intrigues me is that it is known on so many levels or in so many ways. It is known, of course, as a dance where you see people do it in clubs, and it has become a great tradition. But in the music world, there are popular tangos and then there are classical tangos. And sometimes that line can blur, yes?
Of course. And I think tango as a musical form is something that everybody can find himself or herself liking it and enjoying it and have that rhythm inside yourself. So as a classical musician, you always like to enter that world because it's the world of free. It's the world of the kind of rawest passion, and it's wonderful. And when I was a student in the academy, we were always so preoccupied with these big sonatas and these big pieces which we were preparing and so on. And we had something called a chamber music concert, which was the opportunity to play with other musicians, with other instruments. And everybody was always wanting to do Piazzolla. Because Piazzolla symbolized this freedom. We could do whatever. It was music which wasn't difficult, but was music which spoke to you in such a direct and such a pure way. And when I was making Passion, I could not imagine it without the music of Piazzolla.
Well, let's listen to it. Liber Tango by Piazzolla.
Thank you.
was Libre Tango by Piazzolla. It's so powerful. There's something about that that just grows and grows with joy every time it's heard.
And no matter how many times you heard it in how many different versions, you always like it. You always find something that really touches you. I really, really like that piece.
Piazzolla was very active for many years. I think he died in the 90s. Mm. I mean, he lived a very long, full life. And I would like to actually sing an American popular song from the 30s written by Cole Porter, only because Cole Porter was more influenced by Latin and international rhythms than any other American songwriter. And he brought so many different musical styles to American popular music. And again, it's that bridge that he was writing this kind of music at the same time that Piazzolla was writing these tango pieces. And so I'd like to do something by Porter, if I may, that he wrote in the late 30s called I Concentrate on You.
I can't wait.
Whenever skies look gray to me, and trouble begins to brew, whenever the winter winds become too strong, I concentrate on you. Fortune cries nay, nay to me, and people declare you're through. Whenever the blues become my only song, I concentrate on you. Your smile so sweet, so tender, when at first my kiss you decline, on the light in your eyes when you surrender, as once again intertwine. And so when wise men say to me that love's young dream never comes true, to prove that even wise men can be wrong, I concentrate on you. Concentrate on you. That was Words and Music by Cole Porter. I Concentrate on You, my attempt at showing the bridge of Latin rhythms to American music.
Gorgeous, Michael. Gorgeous.
Thank you. There's one more piece that I'd love to hear you perform. It's by Torrega. And it uses the technique of tremolo.
Yes. Recuerdos de la Alhambra. The Memories of Alhambra. A very important piece for any guitarist. It's a piece which is much more than a tremolo study. It was written as a tremolo study, but it became much more. It's a piece which remembers the homeland. And when I play this piece, I always remember Montenegro. So I have it for you today for that reason.
Here it is, Memories of Alhambra. That was Memories of Alhambra by Torrega, performed by our extraordinary guest, Milos. Thank you very much for sharing your love of this music, for enriching our world with your artistry, and sharing your humanity. It was great having you as a guest.
Thank you, Michael. The pleasure was all mine.
You've been listening to Song Travels with host Michael Feinstein and his guest, Milos Karadaglic. Song Travels is a production of South Carolina ATV Radio and is recorded at Luz Muse Recording in Los Angeles, California, with post-production in the Elaine T. Freeman Suite at ATV Radio in Columbia, South Carolina. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Jim McCurdy, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production manager Grant Jackson, production assistant Laura Hunsberger. The executive producer is Kobe Hennessy. The executive in charge is Linda O'Brien. Special thanks to Anya Grundman, director and executive producer of NPR Music. We love to hear from you. Our email address is songtravels@scetv.org. Support for Song Travels comes from NPR and the National Endowment for the Arts, ArtWorks. Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and NPR contributors, which include the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at gatesfoundation.org. The William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.